right up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, as we do each and every Wednesday. We have the good fortune to speak with President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. It is the Wealthwise moment, and for that, we welcome Laureen Gilbert into the studio. Well, actually on the phone today. Welcome, Laureen. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing well. Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for calling in today. And I wanted to start with this, and I know you personally, and I know how close you were with your father. Please, on behalf of the radio station, allow me to offer our condolences on the loss of your dad last week.
Thank you so much, Ed. I appreciate it. He was the one who taught me how to invest in stocks and helped me buy my very first stock. We did it together, and he showed me how to do it, and that was back when I was, I think, graduating high school, and that's what got me interested in the stock market. The stock we picked together split and split and split again. I thought, wow, this is great. So make money in the stock market.
So describe that moment of him actually calling you over and going, hey, come here, I want to show you something. Describe that moment for us.
Well, back in the day, Ed, nothing was online, and so we were looking through books that the brokerage firms print. They printed them at the time, and it went through all the statistics of each stock. And so we pored over that data. My dad was an attorney and very detail-oriented and able to look through all of that. And so we looked at all the statistics together and picked a stock that's still around today. So we did that. It was a lot of fun when he taught me how to do that. And that's what, like I said, sparked my interest about the markets and eventually getting into the business.
And
helping other people.
If I can stretch it for just another question or two, as you moved through the business and as you got more success and as you became more confident, did you still every once in a while lean on him for maybe some advice?
Well, he actually leaned on me for advice, which was really nice. I helped him with his investment. So, you know, the tables turn as you get older. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, again, he helped create and helped build a wonderful foundation for you in being magnificent and helping others with their money.
Thank you. I appreciate you
sharing a little bit about him with us. Let's talk about what's been happening the last week or so. The Omicron variant, what has it done to stocks this week?
So the Omicron variant is, as you know, a new variant that's come up, which has spooked the markets because the question is, will there be more lockdowns, which will then impede growth and stagnate our economy again? So that's the reason the markets have reacted is, what is this going to do to the economy? And the markets reacted. The markets hate bad news. You know, they hate this kind of news. And we've seen it before, as we know. But let's remember what happened before as well. The markets quickly recovered and went on to new highs. And so I think it's a buying opportunity for investors to be looking at. Certainly, there could be continued volatility in the short run. We are not expecting this to lead us into a recession. Therefore, if we're not looking at the end of the bull market run, then investors should look at it as an opportunity.
Okay. And I'm hearing questions being asked of, will this or can this plus the Fed actually kill the bull market?
Well, yeah, exactly. And so, well, with regard to the Fed, interestingly enough, you know, all along the Fed has been saying transitory, transitory, transitory on inflation.
Right.
Well, Powell just came out yesterday and said, we need to stop using the word transitory. Okay. So that was a signal to the markets that inflation is more persistent, which, of course, we've been saying all along. Mm-hmm. But a couple points I want to make. This variant appears, while it is very transmissible, not to be as deadly. And that is good news for all of us, that a virus is a virus. It's going to continue to spread. It's going to mutate. But if it's not as deadly, then hopefully we don't have to go into lockdowns and continue that. And that could be good for continued growth. And then with the Fed, What this is also signaling by what they said is that they're going to have to act probably more quickly than they have been indicating on two fronts. On easing up on quantitative easing, easing up on that, meaning stopping those purchases of treasuries and mortgage backs, as well as raising rates. So first comes the taper, and then comes the raising of the rates. I would expect that tapering to come to a stop. So that's why the market was reacting. You know, it's been very additive for the markets to have all this free money flowing around, but that's going to end. So with back to your question, I do not expect any of this to stop the bull market run. I do very much expect quite a bit of volatility, and that's why investors have to be diversified, have to talk to an advisor, need to know how to mitigate the volatility that is going to happen in the markets. That, I would say, will continue. So investors have been somewhat complacent because there hasn't been that much volatility to the downside. And when I say volatility, there's volatility upside, volatility to downside. We have seen a lot of volatility to the upside, not much volatility to the downside. So I expect more volatility to the downside, but still continue with a bull market run.
Okay. You may not be able to see it, but you've just talked thousands of people off ledges across the country here. So. Companies were really profitable during the third quarter, even with supply chain issues and inflation. Am I hearing right that on average company profits were up 39% year over year?
Absolutely, Ed, and that's what it's all about. So when I talk about the bull market run continuing, it's all about earnings. It's all about profitability. And that's what we saw in this last quarter, that companies, and this is what we've been listening for on those earnings calls, how are companies responding? What are they doing to mitigate the issues around supply chain? And the reality is the supply chain issues are not stopping anytime soon. We expect that to go on throughout all of 2022. And it's a matter of companies being agile and what companies can navigate through it. Some are going to have a harder time than others and sorting through all of that. But yes, overall, profitability, another great quarter for profitability. And now, Ed, let's talk about that. We're now going into retail. Now is the retail season. You know, Black Friday happened, and we're seeing people, and then Cyber Monday. And so people with the money that they've had a lot of savings and an extra stimulus that's come in. And so people have the cash to do it. So even with people, we've talked about the debt has gone up for individuals, but they've also got cash to deal with it. And so they're spending.
Okay. Two questions. We've been talking about both of these subjects for a couple of months, but first I want to cover home prices having risen 19.5% in September compared to a year ago. What's the ceiling? I mean, how high can home prices go?
Well, it's, you know, similar to stocks in a sense of saying, you know, it's there's no real ceiling per se.
Okay.
The prices of stocks will grow and housing will go up until in housing, what impacts housing is affordability. And so as it becomes less and less affordable for people to buy their homes, then there will be a shift, and then eventually housing prices will go down. But what I'll say about that, because wages are going up because of inflationary pressures. So we've got inflationary pressures. We finally got wage pressure, and wage pressure is what continues inflationary pressures. That means that people still will have the money. But, you know, what we don't want is this ongoing circle of inflation pressure, wage pressure,
right.
Housing prices, and then it just continues to spiral up. But I would say, you know, can't really say, you know, when there's going to be some kind of limit, but I would say it is all about affordability with houses. And we've been saying that we think that the housing market's still strong mainly because of supply and demand issues. There's just not enough supply for the amount of demand that's there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The second question that you and I have discussed before, we know that a key way to build tax-free savings is to contribute to a Roth IRA. Yet I'm hearing that Congress is in 2032 going to eliminate backdoor conversions to Roth IRAs. What is a backdoor conversion and why are they eliminating it?
So this is all part of the Build Back Better legislation that went through the House and is now sitting in the Senate. So we don't know what the final version is going to look like. But there's a lot of things, Ed, in this proposed legislation that is not good for most people. And so, you know, while I was for the infrastructure package, I am not at all for this Build Back Better proposal that is in the Senate right now. And this is one of the reasons. The reason that Roth was put into place to help people save for retirement. And Americans are underfunded for retirement. And so this was to help people do that. It's after-tax dollars that go in, grow tax-deferred, come out tax-free. But the proposal, what it would do, and it actually, in the current version, in 2022, it would end backdoor conversions. And in 2028, it would not allow conversions potentially at all. So the backdoor conversion, the way that works is that you put money in an IRA, because
right.
Everybody, no matter what their income limits, is eligible to put money into an IRA. Let's say it's an after-tax IRA.
Right. So when you have a Roth IRA, high earners are prohibited from contributing directly to a Roth, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And so the backdoor around that is to contribute to an IRA and immediately convert it to a Roth. And when you do that, it ends up being a Roth, even though you can do it. And if you haven't made any earnings on it, you don't pay any taxes. So that is a backdoor conversion. And you'll remember there's been a lot of media around. Remember Peter Thiel, who did a huge Roth conversion?
Right.
So that's where it hit the news, of him making this huge conversion. And with that, in the same Build Back Better proposal, it would actually, if you have more than $10 million in all retirement plans,
right,
it would start forcing you to take 50% out over $10 million. So if you had $15 million, you'd have to take out
$2.5 million.
Right. So, you know, it's in a sense then penalizing people who have been diligent about getting money into their retirement account. So problematic,
right,
for sure.
That was a mega backdoor conversion, right? Is that what it was considered?
It was. It would also eliminate people being eligible, you know, based on income, whereas right now there hasn't been an income limitation. Anybody right now can convert. So a lot of things around all of that. So the point in all that, Ed, is that if people are interested in doing either a backdoor conversion or just a regular Roth conversion, right, that this would be the year to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. And you and I will be discussing this, I'm sure, well into the new year. We're already at December 1st. Today is, I can't believe we rolled through this year this fast. It's December 1st. What's going on year end for investors?
Oh, yeah. We only have a month here.
Yeah.
My gosh. I was thinking we had a couple months. We're at December 1st. We've got 1 month left.
30 days.
Of the year. 30 days left. So things that people should think about. We just mentioned one. Roth conversions or backdoor Roth, definitely a consideration. Another one would be contribution to charities, just like the radio station just had their fundraiser, mm-hmm, and happy to support that.
I want to thank you, by the way. Thank you.
Absolutely. Charitable deductions are a way to reduce taxable income before year end. Another way is to take capital gains this year with tax law changes coming down next year and not really sure where that's going to be. We're talking to clients about taking gains. You can certainly take losses against gains. That's called tax loss harvesting. But I would focus more about taking gains this year and paying the taxes on a year when we know what those gains look like. And then finally, just maxing out on all retirement plan contributions. And if you're a business owner, we have ways to help business owners put hundreds of thousands of dollars away in special retirement plans for business owners. So that's a way for business owners to reduce their taxable income.
Fantastic. How do our listeners find you, Laureen?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
I can't thank you enough for being here this morning. And just again, on behalf of the entire radio station, thank you for always supporting us. And thank you again for supporting us this past week. And allow us to support you with condolences on the loss of your dad. And thank you for sharing the story about your dad with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Ed. You guys have a good week.
Thank you, Laureen. We'll talk to you next week. 8:16 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show. Coming up in a few minutes, John Dobkin, the public information officer at San Onofre.